Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
For those of you who don't know me, I think all of you know me, but just in case, I'm Melanie. Hi. I went on a mission trip through YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission, back in October. It's a five-month trip, so I got back in March, but I got back right when COVID happened. So I'm just now being able to share. So I've been home for a while, but I'm just now sharing. So anyway, I'm just going to go through really quick of what I did. So it's a mission trip. I went to a DTS, which is a discipleship training school, and that's 3 months. And then we did two-ish months, a little short of 2 months on outreach, which my team went to Thailand. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, just so you guys know, because I know the church was supporting me a lot financially and through prayers. So I just wanted to give you guys a little like rundown of what you are supporting. So I have some pictures because I'm all about pictures. This is wrong file. It's okay. Can we go to the YWAM file first? But this is my outreach team. That's my outreach team too. We'll get to that in a little bit. Did the files get mixed up when it reset? If so, it's fine. We can figure it out. It should be a picture with a bunch of people in it. Anyway. Anyway, I'll just keep talking. So I'll explain really quick the DTS. So that was a three-month phase, and that was a phase of lectures. So we had a different topic every week. Oh gosh, some of the topics, you might have to help me out. Some of the topics, we did Father, Heart of God, Character and Nature of God, Identity Week, which is all about finding your identity through Christ, which was a heavy week. And so we just have 10 weeks of that. We would just pretty much sit through lectures from speakers all over Australia. We had a speaker from New Zealand. We had a few speakers from the States. So pretty crazy people would come to our base and talk to us, and it was really cool. Even our base director did a talk with us. So the 3 months is lectures, pretty much preparing you, at least for me anyways, it was preparing me for outreach, because if I didn't have my lecture phase before I went on outreach, I would have crumbled. Outreach was intense. And along with the lectures, we would also have two intercessions a week, which is an hour to 2 hours. Our entire base gets together in our room, which is probably smaller than this room right here. It's a pretty small base, but we'd all get together and we would have a topic. Intercession is all about praying for others. It's where we pretty much put ourselves down and we pray about something else in the world, whether it was we were praying for different countries, different people groups, things going on for a while. When I got back from outreach, we were praying for COVID a lot. And that's twice a week that we all just come into a room all together and we just intercede together for other people and other things. And so we do that twice a week. I think that's once a week. And then we have prayer room twice a week, which is a two-hour session that's for you. It's your time to go into a room and pretty much just have time with God. It's pretty much like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just called prayer room. And we have a band up on the stage. Sometimes they're playing worship music. Sometimes they're just playing instrumental music. They'll have verses up on the screen. And then sometimes on Fridays, we'll have like an open mic. And that's pretty much where anybody at any time can just go up front and just pray, whether it's for other people, for themselves, whether they have prayer requests, praise reports. So that's just a time every week that we have and do that. So that's pretty much DTS. It's fun. It's a lot. We have homework, too. Every week we had to do a weekly journal for our one-on-ones, and it was the same questions every week, so you got pretty good at answering them. But just same questions about, like, how did you feel like you heard God this week? What were your struggles this week? What do you need prayer for this week? Kind of stuff like that. And yeah, so that's DTS pretty much. Are we good back there?
I'm not sure.
There should be four files. The first one is YWAM.
Yes.
Are you in that one?
Yes.
The wrong pictures are in that one.
You should FaceTime us, and then we can see what you see and find the
pictures. It's just a picture of my whole school outside. That's not it either. Now we're in the Thailand file right now. I just want to show you guys my school. I had people from all over my school. I had people from the Netherlands, Germany, Canada. I had a few fellow United States people, Finland. It was pretty cool getting to see all these people. And we all live in community. I lived in a little tiny dorm. It was tiny, like no room to walk at all. It was probably like if you cut this off like right here and cut it off at like the wall right there with four bunk beds, that was our room. So we all got to know each other really well. Which was great. Okay, well, anyway, we'll just show you these people, I guess. It's fine, they're all people. That's Brisbane. This is Australia. This is the city of Australia. I lived inland about 2 hours, so it looks a lot like Spring Creek, in my opinion. It's very nothing. There's absolutely nothing. There's sagebrush, and that's about it. Yeah, we can just go back into that Thailand file. And I'll just talk about outreach because that's the interesting stuff. Maybe, if we can do that. Okay, so this is my outreach team. I don't know if I can use this. Okay, so this is Noah Stolte. He is from Canada. He was one of our, he was the only boy on our DTS. We had 12 kids, and he was the only boy, and he was great. This is Jordy Camilleri. He was our outreach leader, along with Rachel. They're both fellow Australians. They both were born and raised in Australia, and they were both 18 years old. And they led, Jordy actually just turned 18 right before our outreach. So we had two 18-year-olds leading us through outreach who have never even left their own country themselves. So it was, they did phenomenal though. Like, it was crazy. That's me. That's Myrta. She is from the Netherlands. That's Asia. She is from Maryland. Violet, who is from Australia, complete opposite end of Australia. She's from Perth. Raylan, who is from Florida, and then Brittany, who is from Texas. So that was my outreach team. We had a good time. Let's say that. So we had two ministries that we did in Thailand. Can I use this to go through pictures? I was using the laser. I don't know if it, yeah, it's on. Whoever. Okay, well, this is just me and Raylan in Asia. So this is showing us, we all had to cram six people into a like a four-person taxi anywhere we went and then try and talk to the Thai people on where to go. And that was always interesting. A lot of the we actually got kicked out of a taxi once, so we're just standing on the side of the road like, we're just standing there like, oh no. None of us have cell service or anything. We also didn't have our leader with us, which was not okay, but it's fine. So yeah, we rode taxis everywhere in Thailand. And fun fact, I was the kitchen manager on my outreach. So I had the privilege of making breakfast for my team every morning, and this was my kitchen. So we had pancakes every morning because they were cheap and easy to make, and they were suitable for the kitchen I had. And those like little wires down there, mice would hang out there and stare at me while I made breakfast. Yeah, it was pretty nice. These are so random and not in the right order. This was the food. The most important thing about our outreach was the food. I gotta say that. We had the most amazing food on our outreach. That was something that we were really blessed with. I've heard a lot about like Samuel's outreach and Stephen's outreach. They all come back like skin and bone because they're like, we didn't eat. We're all like coming back like gaining 10 pounds because all we ate was rice and noodles and more rice and noodles. So that was a huge blessing on our outreach was the food that we had was really phenomenal. Let me see if I can try and find pictures of our ministries. Okay, that's a bus driver. More food. Okay, this is Thailand. We were, to be honest, I don't even know what city we were in because we were never told and nobody spoke English. So all I know is we were about an hour outside of Bangkok, which is a major city in Thailand. So these were the street markets, and we would be able to like walk to the street markets every night. We kind of stopped going once COVID hit. COVID hit like the third day we were in Thailand. So we all got to Thailand, and we were already kind of freaking out about being in a country or a place like Thailand. And then another outreach team comes in and they all have masks on, and we're like, why are you wearing masks? And they're like, oh, there's like a virus outbreak. And they all walk away, and we're just like, what? We're like, why haven't we heard about this? Like, what's going on? So me being the person I am, I immediately pull out my phone and I'm like, virus outbreak in Thailand. And sure enough, in Wuhan, China, somebody had a virus, and little did we know, it was going to close the world down. So that was very interesting. Within our third day of being in Thailand, we were directed by our base directors that we had to wear masks everywhere we go, and we actually almost got sent home like 3 weeks early from our outreach because they were worried that we were going to get stuck in Thailand and we wouldn't be able to come back to Australia. But praise God we didn't have to go home, because that would have really been awful. These are the buses that we would have to ride in everywhere. Most of the time, this is an empty bus. Most of the time, you were standing like face to face with people, which when there's a virus outbreak is not very comforting. You're just kind of standing next to these little Asian people, and you're just like, okay, what's going on? But so anyway, we rode these buses everywhere. Sometimes our trips were about 2 hours long, and most of the time you were standing that whole time, which was interesting. But it was a good time. Trying to find pictures of our ministries. Okay, another fun thing. People would drive around like this in Thailand. They would have motorcycles, sometimes with like five people on them, with kids just like on their shoulders. And mind you, they're flying probably like 80 miles an hour down these highways. And it's crazy. We were like, oh my gosh, like these people must know God because they're doing all that. It was very... Thailand culture is incredible, honestly. Like, after being in America for so long, you go somewhere like Thailand and they're so carefree, and they just really don't care about anything. And it kind of gives you like a feeling of like, wow, I care about way too much. Like, it was really a huge eye-opening experience. Okay, so here's the ministry picture. We had two ministries when we were in Thailand. We switched between one called ICCI, which is In Christ Church International. And that was our children's ministry. This was probably like the highlight of my entire life so far. We had the opportunity to just love on kids who don't have families or anything. ICCI is a church that a really, really, really nice guy opened, and he pretty much just takes in children from refugee camps and kids that just don't have families or anything. And he houses them, he feeds them, and he teaches them about God, and he teaches them English, and he teaches them just all life skills. Every single kid there, even if they're like not even walking yet, he will find something for them to do. Like every kid, kids that are barely walking are over there washing dishes. But they're the most respectful kids I think I've ever met in my entire life, and the most loving. And it was just an incredible experience. So our time there. Can you go into the folder of ICCI and see if that one is okay? Because those are the best pictures, because these kids will melt your heart. Okay, so here's a picture. We also taught them music, which all of them were already very musically talented, so we were like, we can't really help you in any way, because you're better than us. But so this was their building. They had running water, which was great. They had squatty potties, though, so that was always fun. They don't have bathrooms in Thailand, just throwing that out there. But every single time we went here, we went to ICCI to serve these kids and to serve the people, but really we were served more than anybody, which we didn't really know how to feel about that, but we just took it as a blessing because we were like, this is really nice. Every time we'd go in there, every single kid, they would take our shoes from us, and because you couldn't wear shoes in that room, we're still not sure why, we just can't. And you also can't even point your shoes towards the room. When we first got there, we're Americans, we'd kick off our shoes and we're good to go. And the little kids would come over and they'd fix them and turn them and they'd line them up by size. And we were just like, oh my goodness, okay. Like, wow. but anyway, okay. Noah was pretty much our only musical person on our outreach. So he had the privilege of teaching all these kids guitar while we watched. And he did such a phenomenal job. But I'm getting sidetracked. Let me look at my notes. The notes that I don't have. Okay, so ICCI. Okay, we did ICCI twice a week. We were there like Mondays and Thursdays for 2 hours. And we discovered that the kids love to dance. I don't know, do any of you guys know church clap? Does anybody know that dance? Okay, it's a dance. And it's to a really bumping Christian rap song. So I could. So it's a little, it's just like, and the kids loved it, but you just like hop, 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 you, and then you hop back and you're like, clap, clap, and that's the church clap. And every single time we'd go there, so we brought bumpin' rap Christian music to ICCI, that's what we did. And they friggin' loved it. Like, every single time we'd walk up, they wouldn't even say hi to us yet. They're just like, church clap, and we're like, we'll do church clap. Like, if it makes you guys happy, we'll do that all day in the 100-degree weather. So we taught them dances, we taught them music, and then another thing that we got to do, I don't know if I have pictures, we got to teach them English, which was interesting, teaching English to people that don't know English. So what we would have them do is, these are like also the smartest kids I think I've ever met either, like they know their alphabet in English, they just don't know what to do with the letters. So we taught them how to spell, and then we would do matching games, like we'd have them spell one of their favorite fruits, we'd teach them how to spell it, and then we'd have them draw their favorite fruit, and then we'd be like, see, put the word to the picture, that's a mango. And it was great, we played games with them, we would give one person the word, one person the picture, have them run around the room and find their match and stuff. So ICCI was a huge highlight of our outreach because the kids are just so, they honestly have nothing and they're more happy than I've ever seen a kid in my entire life, just simply because they have a pencil and paper and they get to draw. So that was our, I think that was all of our favorite ministry. It was kind of like a relief almost to go to ICCI because when I tell you guys about Nightlight, that was an interesting ministry that we had. We just had the opportunity to talk to them, and our main thing that we taught them was the fruit of the Spirit. So we made it all like signs and stuff, like gentleness was baby, but they all started calling it baby, and we're like, no, gentleness, it's not baby, you're gentle with babies. And like, impatience is this, and like, so they all, every single one of them memorized the fruits of the Spirit while we were there. And we got to teach them how to put the fruits of the Spirit into play, which was really cool to see them do. We just did lots of crafts with them. Pretty much ICCI was just spending time with them and pouring into them and teaching them English and stuff, which was really, really, really fun. Okay, can we go into... Okay, here's our group of kids. They mainly stayed the same kids every day, but every once in a while you'd show up and you'd be like, oh, who are you? And just a new kid that happens to be coming to ICCI, which was wonderful. This was just our group of kids that we got to hang out with all the time, and they were great, and I miss them. can you go into the Nightlight folder? So that was our first ministry, and then we had a second ministry called Nightlight. This was a very heavy ministry that I didn't really expect to be doing. So Nightlight was started by, I don't remember where she's from, but a single or a married couple who came to Thailand, and their main mission was to get women off the street because prostitution is huge in Thailand. So they have a little coffee shop in the dead center of the red light district in the city that we were in, and it's called Nightlight. And it's just a little coffee shop where people can come in and just buy coffee. But upstairs, in Thailand, the buildings are very, very small and tall. So this building was no joke, like 8 stories high, and the prayer room was at the very top. Then we went up there probably about 8 times a day. So Nightlight was broken into two actually three different portions per week. So this was one of the portions that we did. It was their little chapel that they had at their second location. And it was where we had the opportunity to go to a chapel that they open their doors up to the women on the street, and they say, come in, we have music, we tell a little word of God, and then they normally have food too. So it's a pretty much a church that's open up to the women on the street. But we had the opportunity to go, and every time that we went, we played a little, we played a worship set. We had worship teams on our outreach, and each of us would take turns playing worship, and one of us would tell a testimony. That's Mirta telling her testimony, and that was Dao in the yellow shirt. She was our translator. So we did have a translator while we were there, but she didn't know English super well, so it was more of just transportation and for testimonies. So we would say our testimony, and then Dao would translate it to the Thai people, which was really cool sometimes. So that's what we did on Wednesdays. Every morning, we would get up at about 5 a.m. so that we could be there by like 7, and we would play worship for these people and tell our testimonies, which was a lot more powerful than I thought. When you go to seeing worship in English in a room full of Thai prostitutes, and you hear them just like singing in Thai as well, like saying, I am a child of God and stuff, it's just like, wow, okay. Okay, we're good. it was just a really cool ministry. We can't go back to the kids. No, okay. So that was our first thing. And then our second ministry that we had, and also we weren't allowed to take pictures, which is why I only have like 5 pictures, because you can't take pictures of the women. You can't take pictures of like the ministries, just for respect out of them. So I don't have a lot of pictures of that. But this is one picture. Our other, so the second part of Nightlight was every Friday night, we got to go to the coffee house and we got to play music. It could be worship music, it could be just fun music. It was kind of just to be like this really light place in the middle of somewhere super dark. Like we had bars on every side of us and girls just standing out on the streets. And we wanted to be this place that was different. We wanted to be super, super different to draw people to us. So we had the opportunity to go to there, and their whole front opens up, and this is Raylan and I just dancing out front, just trying to be different and cause people to come over and ask what we're doing, because it was different. It was so different than everything that was going on. I think I have a few pictures of some people playing. I may even have, okay, well, this is our Nightlight crew. There was a lot of Thai women. This one right here is Miku. She became a really big part of my journey in Thailand. She could just kind of tell that I was very, very anxious to be there and didn't really know why I was there. So she was just very comforting and loving. She has 2 daughters about my age. So she was just very motherly. She became kind of like a motherly figure while I was there. This lady right here and this lady were people who used to live on the streets and decided that that's not what they wanted anymore and became part of Nightlight. As employees, they can work in the coffee shop. That's another really cool thing about Nightlight is their coffee shop. They give the opportunity to people on the streets if they don't want to live that life anymore. They have to throw it away and they can come work at the coffee shop as a living for that instead of living on the streets and doing that. This is a random video of us. It's sideways, but that's okay. This was chapel. So there's a picture. That's Violet. She was great. So that was just our chapel that we would do it every Wednesday. And this is the coffee house where we would play music out in the red light district. And that's Noah talking to some guy who came in who was actually there looking to buy someone. And he came in and was wondering what we were doing. So Noah sat down and started talking to him, and he had like an hour-long conversation with him about what we were doing and stuff. And we don't know if, because I don't even know if he understood anything Noah said. He was kind of just like, ah, like for the whole hour that they were talking. But we were pretty sure he was impacted in some way because he stayed for that long, which was so cool. All the people that would come in and we'd have conversations with them. even the random people that would come in and they thought it was karaoke, so they just grabbed the microphone and start singing. We were like, this isn't karaoke, but okay. We were singing Sweet Home Alabama because that's just who we are. And this guy comes up and he's like, I'm going to sing. And we're like, okay. So we give it to him and he just starts singing Sweet Home Alabama. So we're hoping we made his night. But so those are the two parts of ICCI. And then the third part, which I know I have no pictures of, but I can at least change it to a different picture, maybe. The third part was the most heaviest. It's called Beauty Shop. And that is where we open our doors to prostitutes to come in, and we will wash their hair for them. We will paint their nails. We even had hair technicians there that would dye their hair, cut their hair. We'd wash their feet for them, and then we'd also serve a meal and play worship music while we were in there. And that was way cool, just to see these women come in. And even if they didn't, even if they weren't, we had a few women come in that they'd come in, they'd get their nails done, and the second we'd like start worship music or praying, I think they'd just leave. We're like, oh, well, we can still pray for them. But we had one woman, her name was Anna, and this was probably like the most intense part of my entire outreach. She was demon possessed, and none of us knew how to handle that. We were all about 19, 18 years old on my outreach, and we're like, we've only heard of this. Like, we've only seen people come back from their outreaches and talk about it and stuff. So that was really interesting to witness and experience. And she has been going to Nightlight for about 2 years, and they said it's only progressively like gotten worse. Like her, like when she'd walk in, you could just tell she was just blank-faced, her eyes were just black, and she would just not talk to anybody. If you tried to do anything to her, she would push you aside. But over the 6 weeks that we were there and the worship that we did and the praying and just pouring into her, over that 6 weeks, she gave up her witchcrafting materials. She'd always come in with her witchcraft stuff and try and do it in our room, which we wouldn't allow. We'd make her leave. She also tore up. It was something. I'll be honest, I often left the room when things started happening, because if the room is super full, then it's just not, it's a very, very small room. And I felt like I would not, like, we had a prayer room upstairs. So the people who weren't in Beauty Shop were upstairs interceding for Beauty Shop. So most of the time when Anne would come in and she would start manifesting and stuff, I would often leave and go pray, because I'm like, I don't know what to do here. So I would leave and go pray. But one of the times that I was there, she just like gave up everything, and she told the leader, she was like, I don't want to be on the streets anymore. She's like, I want a job here. I don't want to be doing this anymore. She partook in worship. We were playing worship music, and she started dancing around with everybody and smiling. And so that was really crazy to witness. Like, that's stuff that you kind of like hear about places, and you're just kind of like, oh, I don't know, that seems really sketchy. Like, I've always been that person. Like, oh, this person got healed. Like, wow, it's amazing, but really? Like, that's crazy. Like, God is crazy, and he really is. So it was insane to witness that and to see that. So that was probably one of the biggest things that impacted us on our outreach, was to see that. And we were just like, wow, God does use everybody and anybody. Because we were like, we're just, we're casting demons out of people. Like, we don't know how to save people. Like, we're just here to paint your nails. And these ladies were just like, they were so loving, and they just became totally different people when we walked in that room. And let's see. Okay, ICCI Nightlight. That's kind of all I have, a little bit. I mean, I could go on for hours, but I kind of wish my pictures would have showed a little better, but that is okay. Am I missing anything? Have I not said anything? What?
I'm her mom.
This is my mom. Yeah, you guys probably haven't met them. That's my mom, Lana, and my dad, Patrick.
I think that one part you told me was so moving. When you said, first of all, she's never, hardly ever been away from the house. Oh yeah, I forgot a main part.
Or anything like that.
Australia was on fire for a while.
Yeah, there's now there's a virus outbreak, Mom. Mom, there's a demon-possessed lady that's dying. And she said, but we don't want it.
Okay, I don't know why I forgot this part, because I also wanted to tell you guys what I got out of all this. Like, yeah, we impacted a whole bunch of people, but also over my DTS, I didn't realize how much I grew and how much I laid down and how much I gave to God until I went on my outreach, and I was put in those situations of, okay, I can't talk to anybody here. Like, nobody understands what I'm saying. Nobody understands if I'm uncomfortable or anything like that. And especially Thai people, they're very pushy. They're very just like, we don't really care about you. Like, the everyday Thai people, when you're on the bus and stuff, they're just very pushy. And then us being white people just standing in the mother bus, everyone's just like, staring at you, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm sorry, I'm here. Like, it just makes you feel awkward. But I didn't realize how much I actually grew through my DTS, because even just getting on my flight to go to Australia, I cried the entire way through TSA, the entire time I was waiting for my flight, the entire, like, first 4 hours of that, 13, 15 hour flight, I was just like a mess. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I can't be doing this. Like, I'm the most anxious person I know. Everything that will go wrong is going to go wrong, and I'm gonna die. Like, that was literally my thought process when I got on that airplane to go to Australia. I was like, I'm gonna die. And then when I heard I was going to Thailand, I'm like, I'm definitely dying. I was like, we're dying here. That's why I'm here. I'm dying. So being able to go to Thailand, and when that virus broke out, I remember sitting on my phone every single night, because we had Wi-Fi in our building. We had air conditioning and Wi-Fi. We didn't want to go back to Australia after Thailand, because we don't have either of those at Toowoomba. I remember just sitting in my bed every single night, just staring at my phone at CNN News. And just, like, every single night, I was just staring at it like, wow, this virus is getting really big, and it's getting really scary, and we're really, really close to it. And I remember just, like, that was taking over me, and I was freaking out. I wasn't able to interact with the kids. I was too scared that I was going to get them sick or they were going to get me sick, so I wouldn't hug them anymore. And it was like, it started to like put up really major walls. And I remember just one night I was like going through my lecture notes and stuff and like trusting God, and I just got like overwhelmed with peace of just like, I wouldn't send you to Thailand to die. He's like, that's not what I'm doing here. He's like, you need to freaking calm down, and you need to do what I sent you to Thailand to do. And I've never been like so peaceful in my life, because I'm probably the most anxious person you'll ever meet. And I remember just after that night, I was just full of peace, and I was able to confidently tell my entire team, like, we're fine. Like, we're gonna be fine. Like, this virus, yeah, it's big and it's scary, but like, we're so protected right now, and we're so safe. And I normally don't tell people anything like that. I'm normally like, yeah, we're probably gonna die. But like, so being able to confidently tell them, like, I feel so much peace from God right now, that our whole entire team is just safe. Like, we're gonna make it back to Australia. They're not gonna close the borders. We're gonna be able to, our flights are gonna be safe. We're not gonna get this virus. And we're gonna make a huge impact on these people here. And we were told that. We were told that by CCI people. We were told that by our nightlight crew. After we shared one of our testimonies, we actually had Thai people asking us about, how do we do YWAM? Like, how can we do YWAM? Like, how can we get into stuff like that? And they said, out of the many, many years that they've had many YWAM people come, they've never had people show, like, any interest in it. We were told by so many people that, like, we were there for a reason. And we all needed that, because we started to feel like we weren't supposed to be there. When, like, the virus happened, and then our first few weeks in Thailand were just so rough in a way. Like, our bus, we sat at our bus stop for about 4 hours one night because it just didn't show up. So we're sitting on the streets of Thailand till like midnight, 1 a.m., just like, how do we get home? And then so we go wait again. Doesn't show up again. Our buses just stopped showing up. The virus happened, and then we were just like, what is going on? Like, everything that could go wrong started to go wrong, and so we started this thing where every single time we went anywhere, we put on the armor of God. We'd sit there at our bus stop, and we're like, hey, we'd read the whole entire scripture. We'd do the whole, like, we felt pretty dumb sitting on the corner of a Thai street, just like putting on our shoes, putting on our helmets. We're like, we're ready to go. But we started doing that at the beginning of every single day and every single night before we got on a bus. We would put on the full armor of God. And that really helped us all too, realizing that we are here for a reason. And we're here to make an impact on these people. And we're here to grow ourselves. Like, I grew a lot in Australia and in Thailand. I definitely was impacted a lot on that trip. But oh my gosh, okay. That's the picture that's been up there. This was supposed to be at the very beginning. I was just going to kind of show you guys my base in Australia so that you guys kind of just saw where I was. That's a goanna. They're poisonous, and they're everywhere. And they like to just kind of, they're pretty big. They're probably like, I think I've seen one that's about 6 foot long. And then there's some smaller guys that are probably like 4 feet. And then there's these giant lizards that eat our chickens and go around the base and terrorize people. So we have those. We have spiders. We have lizards. We have pythons. We have brown snakes, which if you get bit by one, you're dead. Because Australia doesn't know what anti-venom is. Isn't that comforting? They don't have it. That's a goanna. I don't know if I have any more pictures really quick just to close out with. Okay, this was nice. At the very end, this just shows, again, going back to like, we were trying to pour into people, but we were being poured into more. At our very last day at ICCI, we told the kids that we wanted them to just go in like little groups, and we were going to go pray for all of them. And they wanted us, we wanted them to think of things that they needed prayer for. And we sat down, and every group we went to, we sat down, and they're like, "What do you need prayer for?" And we're like, "No, we're praying for you. Like, we're praying for you." And they're like, "No, I want to pray for you." And we're like, "Okay, like you can pray for us, I guess." So, and they insisted on praying for us. So while they were praying for us, we were like, "We'll just pray for you real quick." They were so sweet, and it was just so sweet. And just the way that they would they would hold our hands. And one of the girls, Jordy, was pretty. He's great with kids, but he's more of an outside guy. He was one of our leaders. And the way that the kids touched him was so incredible, how much he opened up. He was pretty quiet and secluded on our outreach, and every time we were at ICCI, he was a completely different person, which was so cool to see. That was my outreach in a very long ramble, and my DTS. If you guys have any questions, you can ask them. that's what I did. It was huge. It was very impacting. We did a lot. It was exhausting. When we got back to Australia, we were exhausted, but at the same time, we missed it. Like, all of us were ready to go back. We were like, all right, when's our plane back to Thailand? Despite everything that happened, despite the virus, despite the buses not showing up, despite the... some of our team got sick, actually. One of our girls actually had to go to the hospital and have surgery, which was interesting. One of our girls, she has an autoimmune disorder, and it kicked in hard, like week four. So the last 2 weeks of our outreach, she was bedridden the whole time. We kept pushing through. It was still a really good time. So despite everything bad that happened, the only thing that we wanted to do was just go back and keep doing it. And we were like, okay, God's the only one that could put that in us. Because if someone without God was in this situation, they'd be like, oh my gosh, why are we here? What are we doing? So we all definitely felt God's presence through our entire outreach. That's that. And thank you for your support, honestly. Like, through my whole team, our whole entire team, our whole entire base, and me, myself, your guys' support was really helpful. I'd get some texts from people, some emails from people, and those would really lift me up. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I have family back at home that are praying for me and caring for us and stuff and financially supporting us, which was a huge blessing, because when you're in the person who had to have surgery in Thailand, barely even made it on outreach from finances. And so we were all able to pull together and pay for her surgery, and she had to go back every single day and have the wound cleaned and redressed. So it just really quickly became really expensive, And thanks to all of our churches and people, we were all able to just kind of like put all of our money together and do that for her, which was great. So yeah, thank you guys so much for that. I think I'll close out with, I think a lot of you, I'm sure everybody, what I'm doing next, I don't know. I've told a few people that I was going back for a secondary school in September. I will not be doing that. I don't know if it's God or it's got to be God, but he's made it very clear that's not what I'm supposed to do. So I will not be going back to YWAM in September, but I have a few things that I'm throwing up in the air. I might be going to Mexico in February to staff an MA, which is like a summer camp, or I guess it's in February, but they do a summer one, but it's just for a month. I might be doing that. So praying about that, because I don't know what I'm doing with my life. But yeah, so thank you guys so much for your support always, for all of our missionaries. We have so many missionaries in our church, and you guys have been so supportive of it, and we appreciate it a lot. So thanks.
Let's close in a word of prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you for this time.